Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I wonder if you are looking for somewhere you can have rest and be at ease and prosper. Somewhere you don't have to worry about catching a disease or making someone else sick. Somewhere you don't have to worry about your job. Somewhere you don't have to worry about how your partner or your parent or your child is going to treat you when you come home. Somewhere you don't have to worry about how people will treat you because of the colour of your skin. Somewhere you don't have to worry about your past catching up with you. Today's psalm, Psalm 122, tells us that there is such a place, but it is not yet a complete reality. It is something we can rejoice in now, but we also need to pray for. I'd be grateful if you could turn to Psalm 122. The heading says that it is a song of ascents. This is a psalm that people would have sung on their way up to Jerusalem. And this psalm is about Jerusalem as it was meant to be and what it represents. What it represents is Christ and his people. That is where we can have rest and be at ease and prosper. So first, this psalm shows us praise for God's city. Praise for God's city. And we're looking at verses 1 to 5. Imagine travel restrictions have been lifted, and someone gives you some money and says, here, use this to go away on holiday. And you think about leaving behind your work and your difficult relationships, and you plan all the fun things that you're going to do and the beautiful things that you will see and the time you will spend resting. And then the day comes. The car pulls up, the driver of the hotel, the aeroplane lands, the boat docks. The feeling that you will experience then is a faint shadow of how it feels to go up to Jerusalem. Let me read verses 1 and 2. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Well, why is it such a joy to be there? Well, first, it's unity. The condition of the buildings of Jerusalem is a picture of the condition of the people. I'm originally from Dorset. We go regularly to visit Corfe Castle. During the English Civil War in the middle of the 17th century, it was held by those who supported the king, but it was besieged by people who supported Parliament. Now, one of the officers in the castle secretly supported Parliament, and he pretended to go out and bring back reinforcements. But the people he brought back were really parliamentarians in disguise. And Corfe Castle was captured, and Parliament decided to blow it up with gunpowder. Division amongst the people is reflected in the ruins of the building. We'll see how different Jerusalem is in Psalm 122. As you look around at the buildings, you see how well the stones fit together, and there are no gaps between them. And that is a picture of the unity of God's people. Verses 3 and 4. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. What is it that unites God's people? Two things. At first, their experience of being rescued. So verse 4 continues, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. In the Old Testament law, the people of Israel were commanded to go up to Jerusalem 3 times a year. At Passover, God's people had been slaves in Egypt, and they sacrificed a lamb to remember how each household killed a lamb and put its blood on the doorposts and lintel. And the blood was a sign that a death had taken place in that house. So when God's judgment passed through the land, it passed over those houses where there was blood on the doorposts. And the people eat bread without yeast to remember that they didn't have time to let the dough rise. They were leaving Egypt in a hurry. They went up to Jerusalem at Passover and then again at the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost to give thanks for God's gift of food in the land. And then again at the Feast of Tabernacles, a national camping holiday where the whole nation spent a week living in tents to remember that they'd lived in tents on the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Each time they praise God for how he has rescued them from slavery and brought them into the Promised Land. And they do this in Jerusalem because, as verse 1 says, it is where the house of the Lord is. Initially the tabernacle or tent of meeting, and then later the more permanent structure of the temple. God said that the house of the Lord in Jerusalem would be the place where he would meet with his people. Now the people all know that their ancestors were powerless to escape from slavery in Egypt. They couldn't free themselves. They needed God to rescue them. And so the people are united in their praise of God for his rescue. They were also united under the rule of God's king, who makes sure that justice is done for those who have been wronged. Verse 5 of Psalm 122. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Praise for God's city. And all that Jerusalem stands for in Psalm 122 is fulfilled in Jesus. He is the house of the Lord. That's in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And he's referring to the temple of his body. As fully God and fully human, united in one person, Jesus is the place where we can go to meet with God. All the Old Testament festivals celebrate a rescue which points to the rescue that Jesus would achieve. He dies on the cross in the place of his people to rescue them from God's judgment due to sin and to rescue them from slavery to their sin and its consequences. Jesus is the descendant of King David, who sits on David's throne. To come to Jerusalem now means to come to Jesus. At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we're given a picture of the city and the temple, those who enter, and the throne as it will be in the future. Revelation 21, verses 2 to 4. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Or Revelation 21, verse 22. I did not see a temple in this city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Or Revelation 22, verse 4. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Psalm 122 invites us, come to Jerusalem, come to the house of the Lord, come to Jesus. Rely on him for rescue and accept his rule over your life. You may find no place now where you can have lasting rest and be at ease and prosper, where you don't have to worry about getting sick or losing your job or how other people will treat you. But Jesus offers you a place in the future where you don't have to worry about your past catching up with you, because he's rescued you from that by his death on the cross. He takes away the torn and dirty clothes of your past, and he dresses you in the wedding dress of his perfect life. Come, wherever you trace your origins, all nations are welcome in this future city. We are all united by our need for rescue. And you don't have to worry about your job in that city. It's filled with the splendour of kings. You don't have to worry about getting sick or dying there. There is no pain or death. You don't have to worry about being mistreated by anyone there. There is no crying, and it is ruled over by the most just of kings. And we do start to experience something of that now in the church. That should make us glad at the prospect of meeting together once again. That is where we demonstrate that we are different tribes united in our praise of Jesus for rescuing us by his death on the cross. That is where we are united under Christ's rule through his word, the Bible, which convicts us, calls us to repent, and directs us in the way that we should go. But we only start to experience that now. And perhaps the prospect of gathering together isn't something that causes you to rejoice. The place where you should feel safe actually feels dangerous for some reason. And where that's the case, then that's something of which the church needs to repent. Where there should be unity, there is often division. The psalm shows us praise for God's city, but it also recognises that it is not yet all that it is meant to be. And so the psalm also directs us in prayer for God's city. Prayer for God's city. And we're looking at verses 6 to 9. First, the psalmist tells us to pray for peace and security. Verses 6 and 7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Remember that this is not praying for peace in a city, which is where what we call the Middle East. Jerusalem in this psalm is the place where God meets with human beings, where people praise God for his rescue, where they are ruled by his king, descended from David. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem is praying for the peace of God's people, the church. And the word for peace isn't just the absence of hostility. It's the presence of wholeness. Wholeness in our relationship with God. Wholeness in our relationship with one another. Wholeness in our relationship with the world. And wholeness in ourselves. I wonder what you currently pray for the church. Well, here are some ideas about how we can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for agreement about what it means to obey the king in the line of David, Jesus. That division is so often a result of different understandings of what it means to obey him as our king. That one aspect of praying for peace is to pray that the church wouldn't be troubled by false teaching. Pray for repentance where there is disobedience to Christ's rule, as revealed through the scriptures. Pray that we would be united in our praise of God for his rescue through Jesus' death on the cross. Pray that this would break down barriers between Christians and lead us to forgive one another and love one another in obedience to our King. Pray that others would hear of Christ and trust in him and accept his rule so that they would no longer be hostile to him and his people. Notice that this prayer for security is for those who love Jerusalem. That is, those who love what it stands for, the place where God meets with his people, where they praise him for his rescue and are ruled by his king. That is, those who love Christ. Our security depends on our relationship with Christ. One reason we experience security and enjoy security is that as these prayers for peace are answered, we will have less need to worry about how people treat us. We will be loved by others who love Christ. But how else can we pray for security? Pray that God would keep those who have entered Jerusalem, who have come to Christ within his people, until the coming of the New Jerusalem. That is when these prayers for peace and security will fully be answered. That's when all opposition to God's King and his people will be ended. When we have complete wholeness, when there is no pain or death, where we have everything we need, where we ourselves are sinless and we treat each other as we should. But we are not alone in this prayer for God's city. Now look again at the beginning of this psalm. This is a psalm of David. David is God's king. Not only does David call on God's people to pray, David leads his people in prayer. Verses 8 and 9. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. David's descendant, God's king, Jesus, prays for us. Look again at what he calls us, his brothers and sisters, his friends. And he prays for peace. He is concerned about the house of the Lord. That is no longer a physical building. He wants the house that has him as the foundation and those who come to him as living stones to be built. He seeks the prosperity of his people. That may not match up with our idea of prosperity, having health and wealth and happiness now. It is what will lead to the building and strengthening of the house, which is made up of those who come to him. And as we've already heard in those readings from Revelation, one day in the New Jerusalem, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, and it will be filled with the splendor of the kings of the earth. Then there will be prosperity. Do you believe that that is what Jesus is praying for us? We can hear something of Jesus' prayers for his people in John chapter 17. Verse 11, Jesus prays, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus is praying for peace and prosperity as he defines it for his people. And the Father will surely hear and answer his prayers. So we can join him in prayer for God's city. There is a place where we can have rest and be at ease and prosper. Psalm 122 shows us praise for God's city. It is where God's people meet with God and are united in praise for God's rescue under the rule of God's King. We see all that in Jesus Christ. It will be completely the case in the New Jerusalem, but we see it in part now in the church. So let's make sure we come to Christ, and we look forward to gathering together again in anticipation of that future. We do not yet see all this fully. Psalm 122 also shows us prayer for God's city. So let's join in with God's King, Jesus, in praying for the peace, security, and prosperity of his people. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for rescuing all those who trust in Christ through his death on the cross. We thank you that you build us into your city, into your house, on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you that Jesus is the perfect King who rules with complete justice. We praise you that he is praying for his people now. We pray that you would forgive us for our lack of delight in your people and in meeting together, our lack of delight in the future that awaits your people. Forgive us for the ways we've contributed to divisions within your people. Forgive us for our prayerlessness for your church. We pray that you would cause us to rejoice in meeting together in anticipation of that day when we are with your Son in the new creation. We pray that we would be united in our praise of him for his rescue, united under his rule. And help us to join him in praying for the peace of your people. We pray all this in his name. Amen.
Our final hymn this